No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts cast. I'm your host, Matt Danley. Thank you guys for joining me here again on a Monday. Glad to be back. Hoping that everybody understands how excited and happy that I am that you guys are already filling up the ratings and reviews portion of our spot on iTunes. That is helping tremendously. We've already had a phenomenal first week, and I mean phenomenal. You guys starting a pod from scratch, basically, and seeing how well it's taken off has really, you know, has me humbled for sure. So thank you guys for all that. Please remember to share the show, you know, with anybody that you know is a Colts fan, a friend or family or otherwise. It does nothing but help this show grow and really helps us get the word out for sure. So thank you guys for that. But today, rolling a little solo, we're going to go over some stuff that's going around on the internet or just whatever, you know, a lot of storylines that I either may or may not agree with. And kind of wanted to go through these with you. Don't know if you guys have seen all of them. Some of them I've seen on my own. Some of them I've seen people sharing them with me and stuff like that. But I'd like, if you guys didn't get a chance to see Zach Kiefer's story on Ballard's approach to running the organization, you guys really need to check that out. Yeah, obviously, if you know Zach Kiefer, he writes for the Indy Star. It is a really good in-depth version of how he came about once he was hired, basically about his life story and about how he grew up in the world of scouting and how he was brought into the picture and everything else. I thought it was kind of funny in there. He talks about his first few days in his first week or whatever. He comes in wearing flip-flops, and it was just such a breath of fresh air to the rest of the people in the organization, the Colts complex. This is something that we haven't experienced in Indianapolis Colts since they've been in Indianapolis. I mean, we had Bill Polian, that he was, you know, very successful, I guess you could say, but he was not the kind of personality or the laid back type of guy to run the organization like Ballard is. Gregson, you know, we haven't enjoyed Gregson, you know, so I mean, we know that he wasn't laid back by any sort of the imagination. So having Chris Ballard running the show right now is just really interesting and fun to see, because we've talked about this in the past, that it'll rub off on everybody from the PR staff to the scouting staff to the coaches. I mean, even probably Jim Irsay and the players. I mean, this is something that it really can't be understated. And when you look at the fact that the Colts are having such a wide turnover rate this year with, you know, all these new rookies, we've got all these new free agency additions, and we've got some guys that are still young on the roster that are in maybe inside of their first three to five years of play that we, you know, assume are going to be sticking around. I mean, even guys that have been here just a couple years, like Henry Anderson. And then you look at, you know, maybe some guys that have been around a little longer, even all the way down to Vontae Davis. I mean, this is really something that could, like, blast off the organization as far as I'm concerned. Not just because he's smart and because he drafts well and has an eye towards intelligent contracts with free agency, but because of his demeanor and how he approaches every day, how he approaches practices and his interactions with the players and the staff all the way through. I mean, it's just something that is going to be exciting to look at in about 3 to 5 years from now. Is this going to be the one decision that actually happened that really set the Colts organization back towards greatness? I mean, the Colts have been fantastic in the past. Obviously, I don't need to tell you guys that. But we've had such a lull here. Even the 11-5 seasons, I don't think that anybody legitimately thought when we were going into those playoff runs, whether in 2012, 13, or 14, that the Colts had a legit shot at winning the Super Bowl. I know that we thought that they could beat Baltimore in 2012. I know that we thought that the Colts could have gone even a little further maybe in 2013. I think that it was an obvious wall, though, when they played the Patriots in the AFC Championship game in 2014. I mean, if you guys don't feel that way, I mean, I understand, you know, fandom is a funny thing because it can lead you to believe things that aren't realistic. I just never really felt, I mean, I felt like anything could happen without question, but I didn't really feel like the Colts were in the same ballpark roster-wise as the Patriots at that time, because they weren't. I mean, they could have legitimately beaten them, but it would have taken a lot of mistakes and a lot of things to go really, really right for the Colts in order for them to get to the Super Bowl that year. So I'm just excited about this, and I've seen a lot of the stuff that Zach put in this story previously, but it was really fun to read it through front to back to regain that excitement about what Ballard actually brings to the team. So if you guys haven't checked that out, make sure that you do. Another one I saw that it kind of brought up, I think it was more brought up in a forum type question, but it was people asking, going back and forth about what they thought the Colts' most improved position was or ability in the offseason. And a lot of people said pass rush. And, you know, they were talking about Simon and Sheard and how Hankins opens up a lot in the middle. And I don't think that's wrong. I don't think any of those assessments are wrong. I think that the pass rush is improved. I do definitely do. And I think that it is with Terrell Basham as well. But I have to believe that the run defense, in my own opinion, is the best, most improved area that the Colts will see this year. I you can't explain, unless you guys, now if you do, go to my YouTube page and look at the video that I put together on Jonathan Hankins right after we signed him. It's about 10 minutes long. It's nothing but Hankins in the New York Giants defense. You see a lot of him lined up at three techs, some over the nose. But one thing that you see with him is how active he is, how slippery he is to offensive linemen, how well he can fight off multiple defenders. He is so good against the run. And I don't know that I don't think he gets justice from websites like Pro Football Focus or anything like that. And I haven't even checked his grade, but that's not the point. The point is that he is very good, and he's significantly better than anybody that we've had inside of those interior positions in a long time, as far as I can tell. I mean, the Colts have struggled for so long to get a nose tackle. That was why all the hype was there when Hankins was signed, and we were able to get ourselves a legitimate nose tackle. But when you branch out just a little bit and go out to the three tech, or even, you know, any of the variations, depending on a three or four man front, and you look at like the guys that we've had in the past, and you just see he is so far and above their talent level and their ability to shed blockers and get to the running back or follow the running back downfield. He makes a lot of tackles outside of 5 yards, which is really fun to see, because, you know, he doesn't give up on plays. It's just a simple matter of will and wanting to be better and make sure that that tackle is made. And one of the things that the Colts have been struggling on so far in the past several years is tackling. Now we've got Sean Spence, who I think is a huge addition. I really do. He's somebody who's gone under the radar, I think, after the initial surge and we brought him in. We talked about him for a while, and I think he's been a little bit pushed off to the back burner. But he and John Bostic, I don't know what to expect from Bostic yet, but I really like what Spence brings. The coaching staff seems to be high on Bostic. But I'm also excited about Antonio Morrison. I think Morrison really adds a lot to it. He's definitely a thumper. And then you have that nice mix with Sean Spence, where he's kind of a really nice run defender. Not great, but real. I think he's really good. And then you have the ability for him to be able to cover a lot of different areas against, you know, both tight ends, running backs. I don't think that he'll do much against wide receivers, obviously, but I think that he's a quality zone defender as well when he gets into his drops. So I think those are all things that we really need to watch this year. And I think that as far as the total package, I mean, Henry Anderson's going to be back, and it would be obvious venture to say that he would be better than ever this year, or as good as he's ever been, at a minimum, and he's been good against the run the first 2 years, even when he was hurt, or after he came back from being hurt. And then, you know, you add guys like Kendall Langford, who's a good run defender. He's been largely durable throughout his entire career. He'll be back. He's a little older, but he's going to be back. And then, you know, going around, Hassan Ridgeway, Adjibal Sheard, John Simon, but all good run defenders. So then we have this group in here where now, and first down, second down, the Colts defense is going to be significantly better. If you guys were with me on Locked On Colts back in the day, at the beginning of actually when I started that, which was right at about now, last year, we talked about, throughout the season, we talked a lot about how bad the Colts were on first and second downs defensively. It was because they were just getting turned over 3, 4, 5 yards every play on those first initial downs, the early downs. That's a big difference, guys, okay? When we can bring in a defense in this new front seven here and be able to lock down some offenses to where they have to throw the ball a little bit more, we've got better coverage within that front seven, better guys to drop, lengthy guys, guys who are good ball defenders, real natural football players, and that also makes it more difficult for the easy dump passes we saw with a lot of the backup quarterbacks that we end up playing, it seems like, every year. They just have the ability to get themselves into zones and their drops quick, and then we're going to be able to force those quarterbacks, by virtue of all of these things, to throw downfield further. That presents more opportunity. This run defense, not only do I think that it was the most improved aspect of the Colts offseason, but it was the most important to improve. They had to improve that. Pass rush is an issue, don't get me wrong. It's needed. But we got 33 sacks last year. Bump that up 5 to 8 sacks. It doesn't seem like a big deal. That's a lot of sacks to add to a game, to a season. But then you add the significant increase and improvement in run defense, that makes everything better as well. So the Colts will have to be better on passing downs, but that will come because of their early down run defense being much improved. So I'm excited for that. I disagree with the pass rush being the most improved. I definitely think it's the run defense, and I also think it's the most important aspect to have improved upon. So I see another one, and this goes around a lot of times when you have a guy who's in a situation like Le'Veon Bell. He hasn't signed his tender for his franchise tag and all that other stuff. So the people are talking about how he wants out. I think he's making I have not checked his contract details in specific, but I think he's making somewhere around $11 to $12 million under this tag. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's somewhere around there. Either way, it's a lot of money for a running back. It's a ton. So he is going to draw a lot of interest next year if he does not want to stay in Pittsburgh, naturally. I'm not trying to say that I think the Colts will be overburdened by a contract of that height, of that, you know, stature, or even more, but I do think that he is going to want to pull $13 to $14 million out of whatever team he goes to next year. And it's not going to be a short-term contract. I don't think a guy like Le'Veon Bell is going to want a 2-year contract. I think he's going to be looking for those 4-year deals and stuff. That's a ton of money. We've got Andrew Luck. He is an expensive piece of the puzzle in our salary cap percentage. He doesn't disallow us to build around him, but to put a guy like $13, $14 million in the backfield, don't get me wrong, Le'Veon Bell's a superstar. I just don't know if it's worth that money to do that as opposed to trying to continue to build through the draft at that position. Running backs don't last very long in the NFL, okay? Le'Veon Bell's lasted pretty well. There are some other guys that are the notable great running backs right now in the league that have lasted a long time. But I think, honestly, running backs last on average like 3 to 4 years for their entire NFL career. That's not something I would be prepared to spend that kind of money on. I don't know about you guys, but that's a lot of money for a running back, especially a position that gets beat up a lot. But he's an idiot too. I mean, he gets in trouble for a lot of crap. And I just don't think those two things mix. So, I like your guys' feedback on that. I mean, I think that if you look at just skill wise alone and you want him behind Andrew Luck, I mean, don't get me wrong. I agree with you and understand your point. I just think when you mix in his bad decisions, his expense, that he's going to bring on onto the salary cap and the turnover that we've had, guys, with Chris Ballard at the helm, I just feel like we need to trust this guy to draft right now. Let's not go out and get these expensive guys. And I honestly think Chris Ballard would be against it. I don't think that that's going to be his approach. I just feel that the money could be served better elsewhere. And I feel that I want Chris Ballard to do the drafting as opposed to having a resurgence of free agents every year. It was necessary this year. It was necessary in 2012 because there was such a major roster turnover. But it's not something you want to get into and make a habit out of. That's not how it's done well, okay? A lot of those teams, they do that because of the roster turnover when they have it. If they continue to do it without roster turnover, or their intent is to turn the roster over, then you've got a stupid GM, okay? And a lot of those times, Gregson did some of that. There's a lot of other GMs in the league that do it too, and that's a poor way to go about it. Cleveland's notorious for not re-signing their guys later on. I mean, they just continually bring guys in. They have a lot of talent. I think if you looked at some of the talent that has left Cleveland and gone to other places, Cleveland, can you imagine the team over the past 10 years if none of their free agents ever left? I mean, they would have a pretty good team by now, but they have such a dysfunctional front office and everything else, and this has been their approach, is to go crazy in free agency, and then if they do that, then they have a guy come in, or they draft a guy that outplays another, and they don't want to pay somebody who's been there, who's really good, and then you just create discontent within the walls of the team, and I just think that's a poor way to go about it. I don't think Le'Veon Bell would be my ideal pickup in there. I would rather see him build upon the running back group that we've got right now. I don't think Gore will be here next year, but I think that when you put Mack and Turbin in there and you build and you bring in another back that complements whatever they end up showing this year, I think that's the way to go with it. I think the running back position has proven that with a good offensive line blocking for them, like the Colts have done well in the running game, then you can have some success. It's not all about the running back. You get a superstar running back in there every so often. But like I said, running backs don't last long in the NFL. So how long are you going to have that superstar anyways? Even if Bell came in, is he going to go do something stupid and get suspended? Then we don't have him anyways. Or is he going to get hurt because eventually age and, you know, running into humongous humans as fast as you can tends to hurt the body a little bit. So that's just my take on it. I'm sure that you guys, there at least be some of you that think otherwise, but that wouldn't be my approach. The rookies do report to camp today, and the rest of the team and the roster will report on Saturday. It's here. I mean, the training camp is on the horizon. We're about to have some legitimate news to talk about as far as who's playing well, who's not, how everybody looks, how big guys look compared, you know, because there's some huge people. Briggs, the wide receiver, he's 6'5". I don't even know if I realized that until checking out the roster just recently. But, you know, Banner, I want to see him load down on weight, and I want to see him actually being able to fight off some defenders. He doesn't have to be the best guy. I want to see that he's got potential over the first week. I mean, there's so many awesome training camp stories that are going to come out of this. It's such a shame that the fans aren't able to go take it all in. It just really, this might be one of the things that annoys me the most about this year, is that there are only two open practices. The rest of them are at the complex. And a lot of it is going to be just reported by a handful of guys. And that's okay. I mean, those guys do a great job. They do it, and they deserve to do it. But you really need more outside sources. You need fan interaction. You need fan witnessing to go on in order to build the enthusiasm that is going to surround this team. Because come preseason game week one, a lot of people, I mean, basically every single Colts fan, unless you make one of the two open practices, that's the first time you're going to see any of these guys. This is going to be on TV. And that's okay, I guess, too. But I'm not a fan of that. I want to see more fan interaction. That, to me, builds, the enthusiasm and the angst going into the season. Even the preseason, it builds it. Because you see a couple guys that you want to see. It's like, I can't wait to see him in preseason week one. Simple stuff like that. It really bugs me about that. But that's my take on it is anyhow. I did a story the other day talking about some all-pro candidates for the Colts this season coming up, and I'm curious kind of to get your guys' feedback on that as well. You guys can always catch me on Twitter at @MDainley_NFL. You can also, if you want to take part in the Stampede Mailbag, go to stampedemailbag@gmail.com. Drop me a line there, question, concern, or statement or otherwise, and we'll go through it on the website in one of the Stampede Blue Mailbag articles, so that'll be nice. So let's look at some of these all-pro candidates and kind of who we think has a possibility. I mean, when you look at all-pro, all-pro is not Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl is, you know, there's always guys going to the Super Bowl. They get, you know, they have a backup that goes for them. Guys don't want to go. Guys are sick. Guys are injured. So on and so forth. And then you end up getting to third and fourth alternates at certain positions. And it's really not much of a Pro Bowl as, you know, it should be considered. this All Pro, these are the guys. I mean, this isn't a game or or anything like that. First and second team All Pro, those are the guys that were the best at their positions. And a lot of these positions, there's only one per position, and so sometimes two, or there's a handful for defensive linemen or just whatever. We look at the Colts roster right now. The Colts have a improving roster, but there's a lot of guys. I mean, I don't think that Vontae Davis has an All-Pro season ahead of him. You're talking about he's going to be the best corner in the league. I don't see that ahead of him. I think he can have a good year and maybe a really good year, but I don't think that he can have an All-Pro year. I don't see anything like that from any of the safeties, and the only reason I would be hesitant on Gethers is because of his injury concerns. Look at, the linebackers. Do we see any All-Pro candidates there? I don't think so. I think it's improved, like I've talked about. The run defense is going to be significantly improved. But are they better than every other linebacker inside or outside in the NFL? I don't think that we've got those guys there. Get to the defensive line. I definitely think that Hankins brings that All-Pro possibility to this team. I think that he definitely has a legitimate shot at being one of the best, if not the best, interior defensive linemen in the league this year. He's basically getting the reins of running this crew and being the centerpiece around this. I mean, like I said, he's so good against the run. He does present some ability to get back into the quarterback's face. I mean, think about a 5-6 sack season out of him and just a really consistent, good quality run defending year out of him. And you basically got, as much of an All-Pro candidate at nose tackle as you can get. He's also going to show his versatility. He is going to kick out to three tech. He is going to be, offset, maybe to a, in the inside guard, or like a one tech or something like that in a four man front. The Colts are going to have a lot of those. Not only are they going to, they need those because they've got the talent to spread it out. They don't need a three man front every time. They're going to need to do that because they're going to have to decrease the amount of linebackers in coverage. They're going to have to improve the number of defensive linemen in order to get pressure with four. Okay, that's a real issue for the Colts going forward. The Colts don't get pressure with their front three or their front four in the past. They need to be able to do that this year. They need four guys up there that can, on passing downs, go after the quarterback and maybe send one of the outside linebackers, because they're going to need to be a good coverage team. You can't send six guys consistently. And even when we were sending five and six guys, unless it was an inside linebacker on some sort of a twist or something like that, we weren't getting hardly any pressure on quarterbacks. We've got to be able to do that. We've got to be able to do it quick. Those defensive linemen, the ones that we've got, Henry Anderson, Hankins, and a couple others, I have a lot of confidence in them to be able to get to do that. Outside of Hankins, I think Henry Anderson has a possibility to do that. I just don't see it yet. If he comes in this year, Henry Anderson, and makes a significant impact and does it consistently throughout the season, I think that we can expect that from him maybe next year, 2018. He could surprise us all and just blow everybody away, but he is coming back, from only a year removed from injury, and coming back and trying to make the most impact that he can possible on this defense. If he can do that, man, that would be fantastic. Even for him to get close to a Pro Bowl season means that our defense is kicking some tail for sure throughout the year. I mean, that would be exciting, even if him and Hankins can both just have close to all pro seasons. I mean, guys, that's a major improvement on our defense. Major improvement. Not even a slight. It is a significant deal. So that would make me excited. Then we've got to look at some of the guys on the offense as well. I mean, look at Andrew Luck, look at T.Y. Hilton. Hilton led the league in receiving yards last year. He's definitely going to get his 130-some targets. He's going to get his 1,000 yards. What if he gets 10 touchdowns? I mean, that's all-pro caliber to me as far as I'm concerned. But he's got guys like Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. and a lot of other guys throughout the league. Wide receiver is not a thin position. I mean, there's at least a number one, a significant number one on each team. So he's got to be inside the best two wide receivers to really get that all-pro nod. I think it's possible. He's definitely showed that stature isn't an issue with him, that he can come off of anything. He's as good as anybody, whether you guys realize it or not, coming off of physical defenders. That does not get him. What gets him is physicality after the 5 yards it's not being called. a lot of times. He has many guys to go through, and other receivers aren't getting open. That's a bad combination, because once he's the only target, of course they're going to set, you know, two guys on him. They're going to sit a linebacker in front of him and try to, you know, make Luck throw over the top and underneath the second level or the third level in order to get a pass completed to T.Y. Hilton. But look at Luck too. I mean, I know that people are down on Luck because of his injury. I think that people are legitimately getting scared now that he's not going to be ready to go week one. I'm not worried about that, but here's where I go. If Luck is healthy week one, okay, he's ready to go. No one says he's throwing 60-yard bombs on his first snap in week one against the LA Rams. No one's saying that. What I'm saying is that if he comes back and goes through everything, you guys have heard me talk about it before, coming back from injury, he's going to be more susceptible to checking down, getting to those tight ends, easy passes, what the defense gives him underneath 5 yards, 6 yards. He's also going to be with Brian Schottenheimer for a second year, who I felt did a really phenomenal job with him, getting his footwork well, keeping his vision, you know, where it needs to be. His eye discipline was significantly better last year. He was able to move a bunch of guys. And if you guys have read the articles that I put up about Andrew Luck's touchdowns so far this year, we're all the way through the midpoint of the season. You can see that. I'll show you. I'm giving you the little snippets of video to show you that he was better last year at that than he had been in the past. And a lot of that is due to Brian Schottenheimer. I think Schottenheimer really did a nice job getting him fundamentally wise last year. Now you add in the fact that he's going to have to be more fundamental on his own because he's not going to feel like he can go 30 yards downfield every time. Then you add in Brian Schottenheimer, add in another year, a similar skill set around him that he's comfortable with, Doyle's security blanket. He's got Gore in the backfield that makes him feel comfortable in protection for sure. Turbin makes him feel comfortable back there as well. Dante Moncrief's back was looking good in OTAs and over the summer training sessions. I mean, there's a lot of good that's coming up. He feels comfortable with this offensive line. I think that everything is going to set up really well for Luck. I'm not saying that he will be an all-pro selection for the 2017 season, but I definitely think that he has the ability to do it. He definitely has the ability to be the best quarterback in the league. He was a top five quarterback last year, as far as I'm concerned. When I look at all of his stats in depth, go into whatever everything that he does, and you look at how good he was at everything, you know, 13 interceptions, he could have, you know, come off about four of those, okay? And then he would have been in single digits. If you guys really, really are that high strung about how many interceptions he throws, he threw 31 touchdowns. He's thrown 40 in a season. He's definitely capable of throwing more. I mean, the guy is smart. He's got to do the small things, get rid of the ball, live to play another play, you know, on second down, first down stuff, throw the damn ball away, simple stuff like that. Not big stuff. He doesn't need huge improvements. He does need refined, though. So I think that some of that stuff will come through his surgery and Brian Schottenheimer this year. I'm excited. If he starts week one, guys, I'm looking for Luck. I think he's going to have the best season of his career. I definitely do. I think he'll have both the knowledge to go deep as the season progresses because of how he can manipulate defenders. But I also think that he'll have the innate ability now to take what the defense gives him, which makes him extremely dangerous. You look at any of these quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, any of those guys that have been in the league forever, continue to churn out, you know, 4,000 and 5,000 yard seasons with 40 touchdowns. That's what they do. They take you underneath. The guys that can manipulate the defense, they allow people to suck down, they go over the top and kill you. Some of those underneath passes end up being touchdowns eventually because defenders don't know how to play the quarterback at that point. So don't sleep on Luck, and that sounds weird saying that, but don't do it this year. If he starts week one, watch out. I think that he's going to have everything in his arsenal to be the best in the NFL. And I don't know that he will, but I definitely think that he'll have the availability to do that. So guys, kind of a shorter show today. Didn't want to get too in-depth and throw 45 minutes or 50 minutes of just my amazing voice at you for the whole show. But I did want to thank you guys again for the iTunes ratings and reviews. Those have helped tremendously. The show's already taken off, like I said earlier. We'll have some more guests on later this week. We will continue to give you guys as much information as I can as the season goes on. And I'm excited about training camp coming. I want something to come out. I want to talk. I want to hear Pagano talk. I want to hear the position coaches talk about how everybody's improving and what they've done in the offseason. I'm excited for Chester Rogers. I'm excited for Dante Moncrief. I'm excited for virtually the entire defense. I can't wait to see what Malik Hooker can actually do on the field. I want him to come out healthy. I mean, I want Sean Spence to be healthy. I want to see John Bostic at his healthiest. I'm excited for a lot of this stuff. I'm excited for some of these guys that are off the radar that come in as UDFAs and college free agents and stuff like that after the initial burst after the draft. So there's a lot of excitement that's going to come into this, guys. Like I said, one of the biggest issues is that we don't get to see a lot of it. So make sure you guys continue to share the show with friends on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever it takes, wherever you can. I would appreciate it greatly. Give me some feedback, guys. You can hit me if you want. Just hit me up at stampedemailbag@gmail.com. You guys can also get me at mdainley_NFL on Twitter. I'm happy to converse with you there. DM, they're always open. Never a big deal. If you guys have another email or any way you want to get a hold of me, Facebook is fine too. That's fine. Any way you guys want, we'll do it. And if you guys want some of your questions actually on the air in your own voice, call the call-in line, 574-516-2881. Use it. I'll put it on the show. I'll answer your question on the show. We'll go through it, dissect it, whether it's me and a guest or just myself. We'll get it all done for you. So thank you guys for that. Make sure you guys continue to be as involved as you are. We really want this to be an inclusive process. Love to get all your guys' feedback, questions, and so on and so forth. So I will talk to you guys all on Wednesday right here on the Colts Cast.